began with a spark of God's imagination, the Word speaking the story into being. It was, it is, it will be a long and winding story of dazzling mountaintops, of darkest valleys, and of all the spaces in between. It was, it is, it will be a lurid and wondrous story with a curious collection of people, with an assortment of hang-ups and issues, and with a torch to keep the spark of faith and story travelling along. It takes a mighty, creative imagination to populate a story with heroes who aren't quite perfect. Slippery, shyster Jacob. Unconventional, unchaste Rahab. Disconcerted, diffident Moses. There are thousands in this story, named and unnamed, judges and judged, wise men and widows, the lordly and the least of these, extraordinary and fairly ordinary, all in the right place at the right time, and each personal story of faith a part of the greater story of God at work in the world, telling a story which is our story too. The spark of God's imagination is still alive, the Word still speaking in us, through us, around us. Inheritors and sharers of the story, the new heroes, extraordinary and ordinary as we are, diverse and yet one in God, holding that still-lit torch, not in a death-like grip, refusing to allow the story to breathe and grow and change, but gently, loosely, ready to be passed along. It was, it is, it will be the greatest story ever told. Well, good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to you all this morning. What's going to be a busy day around the church today. We've got lots going on. Following the service this morning, the Tradecraft stall are all set up in the hall, ready for you to do your Christmas shopping. So if you've brought your wallets and purses with you, you know where to head. And they're going to be doing hampers this year as well. And I've had a wee sneaky peek, and the hampers look absolutely fantastic. You can go and you can pick up a basket, pick the things that you want, and they'll wrap it beautifully for you, ready to be given as a gift. This afternoon, we have a recital here in the church at 3 o'clock. Abby has arranged for some of her student friends from the university and some youngsters from the academy to come down and give a recital at 3, so very much looking forward to that. And if you could spare a wee thought, and I'll say a little bit more about this later on, for the elders and leaders in the church, because in between this, we're going to be meeting along at the Kirk Centre to have some lunch and a wee blether about the proposed draft Presbytery plan. So, but I'll say a wee bit more about that later on in the service. A wee plea from Carol. She's looking for toilet rolls or empty toilet rolls. So if you've got, in the period course of this week, you finish your toilet roll, could you put it aside and bring it with you next Sunday? And Carol would be really grateful to receive. She needs lots. Is that right? Needing lots of these. So if you've got any lurking at home in a craft box that you keep just on the off chance, or you stuck one in the recycling yesterday, whick it back out and take it with you next week. Next Saturday afternoon, just so you are aware, the focus of lots of activity as the Christmas lights get switched on along the Deeside, North Deeside Road. And from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock, there's lots of things going on inside the Kirk Centre, coordinated by the Community Council, but very much open to everyone to come along. So if you fancy popping along for that, you'd be very welcome. I think the lights go on about 5:45. Oh, and there's going to be alpacas as well, just if that's an extra wee draw. There'll be alpacas there that you can have a wee pet of So yes, there's a lot, as I say, there's lots going on in and around the Kirk Centre. And you may remember a few weeks ago, I put out a wee plea to if anybody would be willing to donate some money towards sponsoring one of these Christmas lights. I'm absolutely delighted to let you know that we raised enough money to sponsor a Christmas light. So one of the lights along the Deeside Road will be in our name, which is just absolutely fantastic. So thank you to everyone who contributed to that. And hopefully, ideally, it'll be one of the lights across the road from the church. So that would be really nice. But I thought I'd just give you a wee update on that. Lots of other things going on this week. They're all in there in the order of service, so I'll let you read them in your own time. We all gather from different places, from different situations, different directions, each with different stories. Yet we are gathered by a God who blends our stories together, allowing them to emerge into one new story of faith, a story which never ends, but develops and regenerates as it goes. Let's stand and sing together our hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let's come together in prayer. In such a neighbourhood of the faithful, in the echo of the saints and every follower of faith, among the great names that have shaped our faith and in the many more who are nameless, yet whose steady belief and constant love has shaped the peace of this place, we gather in your name, O God, and in the ancient echo of all who have followed, may we whisper our prayers alongside theirs. May they tangle with the oldest words, held by and joined with all who have followed. May we know the love that dared Miriam and led Moses, and called Abraham and laughed with Sarah, and challenged David and encouraged Noah, and sang in Hannah and chose Mary, strengthened Tabitha and changed Paul. And know that each of our lives less known though they may be, are joined here, loved here, renewed here. In such a place as this, deep in time and heading for the future, may we praise you in retelling the constant story of all who have chosen to follow. Our small part, our word or two no less significant, do not go unheard. And hear our voices as we say together the ancient words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, can I let you all into a little secret? You know how every week we say those words together? Every week I have this panic that I'm going to forget them. And I know there are weeks when I stumble. I know there are weeks when I stumble over them. But they tend to be the weeks that I'm not concentrating and I'm thinking about what's coming next. Anyway, so what is coming next? I've got a wee puzzle for you. How's your spelling? Are you good at spelling? So do you think if I lay out these boxes with letters on them, you could work out what the word is meant to spell? Do you think? Yeah? Right, okay, I'll lay them out here in a bit of a muddle and see if you can work out what the word. Do you want to come and have a look in the letters and see if together you could work out what the word maybe is meant to be? Well, that didn't take you very long. There used to be a TV show called The Krypton Factor. You remember The Krypton Factor? I used to love The Krypton Factor. And they would have puzzles and it would take them sometimes ages to do, but you did that in double quick time. So what? Somebody want to tell me what the word is, Sarah? Faith. The word's faith. Right. Do you want to have a wee seat just for a moment? So on these boxes, I'm going to sit down. We've got the letters F, A, I, T, and H, and they all spell together, spell faith. Now, inside each of these boxes, I've got the names of two people who were people of faith, people from the Bible who we might call our heroes of faith. So will I open each of the boxes and see what the names are? Right. So inside the F, we have... Do you want to come and have a look at me? You can come. It was your birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You've just had a birthday. How old are you now? How many fingers? You going to see? They're going to come and help you. Are you one?
Three. I'm
three. Three. And was your birthday yesterday?
Yeah.
It was her birthday yesterday, and she's three. My goodness me. Anyway, so in here, it's nice that you called Sarah across because one of the names I've got written down here is Sarah, and the other name that I've got here is Abraham, and they were a husband and wife in the Old Testament who didn't have any children, and God told them when they were very old that they were going to have a son. And Sarah, do you know what Sarah did? She just laughed. She says, don't be so silly. But it happened. And they are known as some of the great ancestors, the great heroes of our faith, because they listened to what God had to say and they went along with God's plan. Right, do you want to open the next one? We'll put that one there. What have we got in here? Got some other names. Do you want to hold that one? So you've got Deborah. Now, and you've got Noah. And they're both characters from the Old Testament. We know the story of Noah. Do you know the story of Noah and his ark? Yeah, so he's a big character. One of the most famous Bible stories in our Bible, the story of Noah and his ark. But Deborah, maybe not quite so famous, but a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago now, we thought about Deborah here in church, and she was known as a judge in the Old Testament, and she gave some advice to someone, and they followed that advice, and it all kind of worked out. So there, again, two people from our Bible that we might consider to be heroes of our faith. Right, we're going to go again. We've got three more to go. You're going to open it. You'll be used to opening things after opening all your parcels yesterday.
Oh, well, you can have many. So you pull that one.
You're going to teamwork. Oh, so what have we got in here? So who have you got there, Sarah? David. Well, again, David, one of the big... Oh, what have you got there? And you've got?
Ruth.
David and Ruth, again, both from the Old Testament in our Bible. David, who became king, started off just as a wee shepherd boy, but ended up king. And David, who wrote a lot of songs that we call Psalms in the Bible. And then we have Ruth. Ruth's one of my favourite characters, because Ruth accompanied Naomi back to Naomi's homeland and went on to marry one of the local landowners and became another important person in the Old Testament. So two more of our great characters from the Bible, great people, heroes, important people in the story of the Bible. Oh. Now. Oh. I'll give you a hand. Here we go. Oh, right, who have we got now? What does your one say? You've got Moses. Yeah, and you've got Esther. Both great leaders. Moses led all the Israelites back from Egypt, where they had been taken captives. And Esther was a great leader in her day as well. She sort of... A funny little book in the Bible, Esther. It's a story about this lady called Esther, but it doesn't actually mention God. One of those books in the Bible doesn't mention God, but her story is quite an interesting one if you ever want to read about a lady who was quite clever and quite important. Right, we've got one more to go. One more to go. Oh, if I pop one. Are you going to say this in there? Let's look at faith. So who have you got in your one? What's your one say? Oh, taking our time. What's in your one there? Lydia. Do you know who Lydia is? No, Lydia is a lady in the New Testament, and she was a leader in one of the very early churches. And you've got Jonah. And do you know the story of Jonah and the whale, the big fish? And he gets swallowed by the big fish. And then the fish is sick on the beach. Maybe that's a story that Carol could be thinking of teaching you that one, because it's a little bit of a fun story. But someone who was a bit of a reluctant follower of God, didn't really want to listen to God. And Lydia, who was one of the first Christians, that's who's... And there's a picture in that box. Now, let me have the picture. Show everybody the picture. It's a tiny little picture. You won't be able to see who's in this picture, but I'll tell you who's in this picture. Because this is one of my heroes, my heroines of my faith. This is St. Catherine of Siena. And she was, if ever anybody could be given the title patron saint of stroppy women, St. Catherine of Siena, I think, would fit the bill. If you were looking for a patron saint of stroppy women, she would definitely fit the bill. She was a young lady, a young girl, who at a very young age, probably about the age that Sarah is now actually, decided that she was going to become a nun. And she was going to serve God as a nun. And her parents had a very different idea, because they wanted her to grow up and get married. But Catherine was so determined not to get married, she cut off all her hair to make herself less attractive, so that nobody would want to marry her. And then was absolutely delighted when she came out in a horrible, horrible rash. So to the point that nobody was going to want to marry her, because she had a really horrible, foxed face. Catherine was so determined that the church should be doing the right thing. And she was around at the time when the Catholic Church had split in two, and there were two popes. One was living in Avignon and one was living in Rome. And she was determined that the real pope should be in Rome. And campaigned and went around the country and around Italy where she lived, campaigning and shouting and bawling and making a bit of a din to say that the Pope should get back to Avignon. And she is attributed with being quite influential and having managed to achieve that. And they went back to having one Pope, back in Rome. So that's one of my heroines of my faith, because I think it just went to teach me as a woman that there is a place for women to speak out and to lead and to do things right. Anyway, well, I pop that back in that box, but we're going to leave the boxes sitting here. Just a wee reminder of what our theme is this morning, because our theme has been the story of faith. So we're going to sing a wee song now. Okay, do you want to go and sit down? Oh, you can sit there if you like. That's absolutely fine. You can sit there. But we're all going to be singing a song. And the song we're going to be singing is 157 in our hymn book, Sing of the Lord's Goodness.
One of this morning's readings is from the book of Judges, chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Lead on, Deborah, lead on. Lead on, sing a song, lead on. Forward, Barak, son of Abinoam, lead your captives away. Then the faithful ones came down to their leaders. The Lord's people came to him, ready to fight. They came from Ephraim into the valley, behind the tribe of Benjamin and its people. The commanders came down from Machir, the officers down from Zebulun. The leaders of Issachar came with Deborah. Yes, Issachar came, and Barak too, and they followed him into the valley. But the tribe of Reuben was divided. They could not decide to come. The second reading is from the book of Esther, chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. Over the wine, the king asked her again, "Now, Queen Esther, what do you want?" Tell me, and you shall have it. I'll even give you half the empire. Queen Esther answered, If it please your majesty to grant my humble request, my wish is that I may live, and that my people may live. My people and I have been sold for slaughter. If it were nothing more serious than being sold into slavery, I would have kept quiet and not bothered you about it. But we are about to be destroyed, exterminated. The third reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us, Come and stay in my house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord. And she persuaded us to go.
Thank you, Dawn, for those readings. We're going to sing again, and this time we're singing the song we sang it last Sunday, but I thought we could make it another attempt at it. It's 10,000 Reasons, and it should on the little bit of paper. Oh, Emily's waving at me. Am I ahead of myself? Okay, so what do we think we're singing now? 175. Okay, let's sing 175, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. I've got it in the wrong order in my order of service, sorry. Dawn read to us just some snippets about women in the Bible who might be considered to be heroines of the faith, Deborah, Esther, and Lydia. Now, for this sermon, I want to do something a little different, and I'm going to begin in a moment by reading an entire chapter from the book of Hebrews. This book has a disputed authorship, often attributed to Paul, but most modern scholars do question this. But authorship aside, the book is an epistle, a letter, written to a group of early Christians living in Jerusalem, people who would have been Jews and would still have described themselves as such. They were a group of people who needed a reassurance that they hadn't got things wrong, that this new community of faith was okay, and that their doubts were okay too. And so the author takes them back through the history of God, showing them how God has worked through people and how God's story has reached this particular point. So listen to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, read from Eugene Peterson's The Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heavenly country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. By faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been received him. And this after he'd already been told, "Your descendants shall come from Isaac." Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead. In a sense, that's what happened when he received Isaac back, alive from off the altar. By an act of faith, Isaac reached into the future as he blessed Jacob and Esau. By an act of faith, Jacob on his deathbed blessed each of Joseph's sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own, as he bowed worshipfully upon his staff. By an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel and made arrangements for his own burial. By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty and they braved the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blinding rage. And he had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going. By an act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled Passover blood on each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn wouldn't touch them. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, swords, thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who under torture refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawn in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading of this holy epistle. That was some read, and I'm guessing Dawn is quite pleased that she was excused it. It struck me when I first read this chapter that what was presented was like a hall of fame of faithfulness, a long list of names that we recognise and a celebration of their faithfulness. Remember, this is an epistle, a letter to a group of people new to the Christian faith. What the author of the letter does here is to remind them all of the great names of the Hebrew Bible. People who were less than perfect, and yet with what faith they had, could play a part in God's story. These early Christians following the footsteps of the disciples and followers of Jesus, those who had walked with Jesus, talked with him, eaten with him, and yet still struggled to fully understand, struggled to have complete faith in this man, Jesus. Frederick Buchner says, "Faith is stepping out into the unknown with nothing to guide but a hand just out of reach. Stepping into the unknown with nothing to guide but a hand out of reach. At various stages of our lives, we place our trust into the hands of others, often out of reach. If you've ever flown, for example, you will know that the person piloting the plane often remains a mystery. They may come across the tannoy and introduce themselves and the crew. They may even give you a wee update on how the flight is going, or let the passengers know when we're about to prepare for takeoff or for landing. But for the most part, the voice we hear remains faceless, hidden behind a door, behind which is the cockpit. And we simply, as passengers, have to trust that they know what they are doing and will get the plane up in the air and then back down again at our destination safely. We put our faith in the pilot and their crew. And I have to say, the more often we fly, the easier that becomes. But I don't know about you, but I still have that wee moment when I just have that wee kind of, let's get us up safe and let's get us down safe. Faith in God kind of works in the same way. The more we put our trust in God, the easier it becomes, right? Or is it that simple? One writer I read this week put it like this. You might say that it sounds like a vicious circle. The only way to learn faith is to have faith. But how do you cultivate what you don't have? I don't think it's really that cut and dried, they wrote. I think that what the exemplars of faith in our lesson show us is this. Like many aspects of life, faith is a matter of learning by doing. In other words, we all have to strike out on faith without really knowing where we are going or whether we even have faith. But in the process of doing those things that faith would have us do, we discover, despite our unbelief, the seeds of faith growing in our hearts. Who are the people in your lives that you implicitly trust? The people that you don't even waver in trusting. They will tend to be the ones closest to you. And we trust them because we have learned to trust them. They have shown us over and over and over again that we can put our trust in them. Today's readings, those read by Dawn and the letter of Hebrews, are there for us to be reminded of those who've paved the way for our faith, for us. And like us, they did so in faith but not certainty. They remind us that faith is complicated. It is, as Frederick Buchner said, stepping out into the unknown with nothing to guide but a hand out of sight. Later this morning, over lunch, your elders and board members will be discussing the draft presbytery plan. The plan lays out a destination, but doesn't give any of the directions. And over the next few months, years even, there will be many discussions about the draft plan. But there'll come a point, hopefully in a few months' time, when the draft is a draft no more. It is the plan. The plan that is finally approved, assuming that it is, in likelihood will not be the plan that we see in its draft form. I anticipate that there will be changes to it. But it's my hope that people will have enough faith to step out into the unknown and find a way to reach the destination that is agreed upon. That we remember the stories of those listed in today's Hall of Fame of Faithfulness, and we remember that God was with them and God is with us. These are uncertain times for the Church of Scotland, with change happening at all levels. Things are not standing still. Things won't stand still. The past is the past. And we cannot and should not ignore or shy away from this, but rather have faith that all will be well, God isn't going anywhere, and the gospel story is still as relevant today as it ever was. We are simply the current custodians. Our names will be inscribed one day on that holy wall of fame of faithfulness. And my prayer is that for the sake of those yet to come, that we are brave enough, have faith enough to step into the unknown with nothing to guide us but that hand just out of reach. And have faith enough to trust that that hand is God's and that God's hand will guide us. Amen. We continue to worship this time in our offering. Let us pray. As we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of hope, of peace, of life, of community to all in need of your gifts and presence in their lives. Amen. Right, now we get to sing 10,000 Reasons. So it's the words, we sang it last week, and we're going to sing it again. It's on the sheet on the inside of your order of service. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Thank you.
Let's now come to God with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. May we join our prayers with all those who ever made that pray for peace, for justice, for truth, and for the transformation of the world towards your kingdom, O God. In the echo of Moses and Miriam, may we speak of freedom in our prayers, to unbind all those bound up, where voices cannot be heard, where the humanity of women and children are reduced because of colour or faith or sexuality or gender, and speak light into these shadows and live as light where we are that shows the world your kingdom alive. In the echo of Sarah and Abraham, may we speak of journeying into unknown places to bring a promise of new life, places where such life seems far away because of hunger and trade rules, because of environmental destruction and a politics of power. And then to speak truth into these policies and live here the way of the kingdom that shows the world your agenda for all. In the echo of Dorcas and Paul, may we speak of universal spirit, an inclusive and generous way of living towards those who are not like ourselves, living as welcome for all who are homeless because of politics or danger or hunger or prejudice, and speak welcome into each place, living here how we believe the kingdom to be. In the echo of all the saints, may we speak of love in our prayers to all those closest to us, for those who are ill and recovering, those physically and mentally unwell, those whose worlds have changed, those lonely and those afraid, and speak a love that gives of itself, living in the echo of the kingdom here and wherever we find ourselves. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 518, Lift Up Your Hearts, hymn 518.
Thank you.
And to the great pathway of faith we go, with all those who have ever travelled along it. In their echo we meet and continue the ongoing story of faith and love and promise. May God be your companion, Jesus the one whose word speaks our story, and the Spirit your horizon, this day and always.